I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about bullying. We're going to talk about what bullying is, what causes it, and what it does to the people who are its victims, and what it does to the bullies themselves. We'll look at ways to prevent bullying and ways to stop it once it's started. We will discuss this with our guests, West Lane Middle School Principal Linda Lawrence, West Lane 8th grader Oliver Hobson, Butler University Professor Brandy Oliver, and a little bit later, Indy Park's Anti-Bullying Coordinator Sean Coward. Please join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476, emailing us at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism and executive editor of thestatehousefile.com. We are talking today about the subject of bullying. We're fortunate to have as our guests Linda Lawrence, who is West Lane Middle School principal. Linda, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
It is good to have you here. One of Linda's students, Oliver Hobson, who's an eighth grader at West Lane, is also here. Oliver, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And Brandy Oliver, who is Butler University's Assistant Professor of School Counseling. Brandy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here today.
It's good to have all of you here. We're going to be joined a little later by Sean Cowherd, who is the Indy Parks Anti-Bullying Coordinator. What I also would like to remind everyone is that as we talk about the schools today, we want you to know that WFYI is part of American Graduate, Let's Make It Happen, a public media initiative funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to help communities address the dropout crisis. The initiative builds on public media's commitment to education through conversations and partnerships between public radio and television stations and local schools, businesses, and community organizations to help students stay on the path to a high school diploma. This is an important subject we're talking about today, bullying, and it's kind of a traumatic one for a lot of people. I'd like to invite our listeners to take part in the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You also can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I want to start with kind of an overarching question here, and I'll start with Brandy Oliver from Butler University. Brandy, can you give us a definition of what bullying is?
Yeah, I sure can. And I think that understanding what this definition is and to be able to clearly communicate that to the students and to parents and to teachers is really going to help frame the rest of our discussion today. So I think there's three components that we usually talk about when we talk about bullying. And that's one, that it's an aggressive behavior that is unwanted from the other party. Two, it's a pattern of repeated behavior. So this happens more than once. This isn't a one-time incident. It's something it's a pattern of repeated behaviors. And third, and most important that we talk a lot about, is there's an imbalance of power. So the bully has a power over their victim. There's not an equal balance of power.
So it's got to be systemic. Mm-hmm. It's got to be aggressive. And there's a disproportionate status, basically, here.
Yes.
Where somebody exerts influence over another and attempts to. Linda Lawrence, I mean, how much of this do you see at a middle school situation?
I think you see it at all levels, not just at middle school. Our students are much more vocal at middle school and often speak through their parents, or unfortunately we'll get to a point where they'll start confronting the bully rather than necessarily getting help. So the one thing that I want to make perfectly clear is the idea of communication. Mm-hmm. That communication can be through the parents back to the school, or it can be to the school so we can begin to deal with it. Because the lesson is never a consequence. The lesson is on both the bully side as well as the victim side. They both need to learn from the experience.
What are, absent that communication, what are sort of the warning signs as someone who's in a school environment all the time that you look for and think, okay, this has gone beyond, you know, something that is traditional adolescent rite of passage or whatever?
Often it's a real going into yourself, that whole idea that I'm not involved in anything anymore. And so you really withdraw and go into yourself, or you see a pattern of aggressive behaviors because a pattern of aggressive behaviors have been done to that person. So now they will retaliate with aggressive behaviors, whether it's to a younger sibling. It doesn't always manifest itself at school.
And one more question for you, Linda. How bad does it get? I mean, what is some of the worst examples of bullying you've seen at your school where you've had to intervene?
I don't know that I categorize them as good or bad. They're all not healthy. They're unhealthy relationships. I really can't answer that question because it's so different per person. In the eyes of a parent, it's always magnified, and that's okay because they're that child's advocate. So as soon as we can begin an education for everybody is when everything will come back down to size.
And Oliver Hobson, you live in this world right now. Can you tell us a little bit, have you had some experience with bullying?
I have had some experience with bullying. Prior, I just moved to Wesleyan a few years ago, and I know what it was like to be on the other side of bullying, not as the bully being, as the bully person that's being bullied. And having come to Wesleyan and after, I know we haven't brought this up yet, but Challenge Day was one thing that really helped with people, their understanding of bullying at Wesleyan. And Challenge Day, it really made me think about, you know, how to help people that are being...
Well, yeah, let's step bullied. In real quickly. Could we talk a little bit about what Challenge Day is? Could you talk a little bit about that? Oliver, tell us what Challenge Day...
Challenge Day is, basically to summarize, it was an anti-bullying program that was told to the students as basically you get a free day off of school. And everyone...
Linda's shaking her head right now.
I mean, that's why a lot...
That's how messages, communication is key, right, Linda?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. But Oliver, go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I apologize.
Like I was saying, a lot of kids went to it, and the one thing that they really emphasize is they came in, and it was like everyone was the facilitators who were the people that came to run Challenge Day. They were the people that were all excited. They were trying to bring us out of our little shell because we were kind of going all apprehensive because we don't know. No one really told us what this was. They just told us we got a day off of school. Mm-hmm. So we went in and they really started to earn our trust just because they were fun. They were crazy. They were just great people. And they started to earn our trust. And little by little, they started drawing some people out of their shells, the people who really had been bullied by certain people, and they start drawing out those people who have been bullied, and they were the ones who enjoyed Challenge Day the most because for them this was like a safe haven to them.
Were you one of those who enjoyed it the most? I mean, was it liberating to be able to share your story finally? And
it was liberating. Well, it was nice because at Wesleyan, it changed. I haven't been really bullied at Wesleyan, but it was nice because I got to see from the Challenge Day facilitators, I got to see what it was like to help people, you know, that are being bullied and how to be there for support, because support for them is essential.
We're talking about bullying here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email. nolimits@wfyi.org, or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Oliver, I want to stay with you for just a second here because I think your story really cuts to kind of the crux of what we're talking about today. You said you were bullied at another school without mentioning names because I know you made a pledge as part of the Challenge Day to keep that stuff confidential. Can you talk a little bit about what your experience of being bullied was, how it played out?
It was kind of more just being isolated. Like, I wasn't as included as other people. Like, it was more seen as, like, I know you've been to middle school, and you know that there's kind of like a pyramid to that. And that's kind of what my other school was like. And people, it was kind of like you were fighting for the places on it. And it's just basically whoever liked who was it. and that's how they were friends. And I was always kind of the odd person out. I was always like the one who never really, like, I didn't have anything in common really with other people. And the one thing that Challenge Day really said to people was accept everyone for who they are, just no matter, because everyone's different. No one is exactly the same. And that's the sad thing about people who get into these little groups and they shut themselves off from the rest of the world, is because they never see anything else, and they don't, doesn't let anyone else, you know, like, come into it. And that's what kind of happened. They just, I wasn't included. So
it was there though physical intimidation or aggressive behavior? It was more just social isolation.
It was more social isolation because I was larger than them.
Okay.
At that age.
At that age, okay. What I want to talk about, and Brandi Oliver, I'm going to start with you on this one. I can't imagine there's anyone out there who really makes a conscious decision and says, oh boy, you know, as I get older, I want to be a bully. That's real. I aspire to that. What causes bullying? I mean, what prompts people to go there?
I think that's an interesting question, and I don't know that we have a prototype or we can profile who's going to be a bully. But some of the research suggests there's some specific indicators. One subgroup could be students that lack empathy skills, so mm-hmm. they don't understand the words and what they're doing to others, how that impacts the emotional feelings to other students. Another potential group is students that lack social skills. They don't necessarily pick up social cues, be able to read those, you know, average normal social cues that other students are providing. And then there's another group that enjoys not following rules. They like to break rules. They like to get a rise out of other students. It's that real power manipulation. And it's interesting. Before I came yesterday, I was reading some other new studies, and one that Oliver talks about is the isolation and the pyramid that he talked about at that school. And maybe that was the climate of his school, where kids may have had great social skills and they may be very popular, yet the climate is the actions of the bully. They got the feedback and they got the power that came from that. And so it's also examining what your school climate, what does your school give, what kind of message is it sending? So if you bully and others observe and they feed off of that, then that behavior is really being reinforced.
Well, and Linda, in a middle school environment, and at some point we probably can talk about this, I'm assuming that bullying does not occur only in middle schools or anything like that, that it is a much larger social problem. But how do you go about identifying it, and when you intervene, how do you go about intervening?
I think that we can get into real specifics later in the show, but the one thing that we have to do is educate children. If we are bringing in a group of diverse children, and most schools have diversity, whether it's socioeconomic, ethnicity, there's a great diversity there, and you can't assume that everybody comes to us the same way. So our job is to educate everyone. It's not to just educate once bullying occurs. You certainly have a process, and that's probably the most proactive thing that I believe we have at Wesleyan, is an actual process that our children know, so the power goes directly to them when it comes to bullying, that they have a way to tell others about the bullying.
Oliver Hobson, I want to ask real quickly, when you were being bullied, when you felt isolated, did it bother you as a student that, I mean, were there people who tried to step up and help you, or did that just make the problem worse?
There were small spurts of people, sometimes people would like step out and they'd try to help me, but then they'd just get sucked right back into the pyramid that by the higher people.
Did you try talking with your parents about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, a little bit. I wasn't as, I don't, as the one thing about me is I don't like, I'm not really, I've just been learning recently as through middle school as to, it's better for me to talk things out. So then because I was being isolated, I think I felt more isolated, so I didn't really talk it out a lot.
We are talking about bullying here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We're talking right now about bullying, as I said, with our guest, Linda Lawrence, who is the West Lane Middle School principal, Oliver Hobson, one of her students at West Lane, and Brandy Oliver, who is assistant professor of school counseling at Butler University. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism and executive editor of thestatehousefile.com. We're talking today about bullying here on No Limits. We're fortunate to have as our guest Linda Lawrence, who is West Lane Middle School's principal, Oliver Hobson, one of her students, an eighth grader there, and Brandy Oliver, who is assistant professor of school counseling at Butler University. So far, I've made it through that identification both times without screwing it up. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Gotten an email question from a listener named Jim, who says, traditionally, much of the bullying occurs in grade schools. And Oliver, I think that's where the bulk of your experience was. Do Indy grade school administrators have a formal anti-bullying program? Linda Lawrence.
Yes, we this fall hosted a Bully Safe USA program that all of our elementary schools in Washington Township have now had people trained in and are using that process. Well, again, that's an educational process so children can learn what to do, how to react to a bully, and who to go to. And any time, I'm going to say this over and over, that communication piece is the key, or you have the isolation. We really want to teach children to be their own advocates.
Brandy Oliver, I want to ask, since you're an assistant professor of school counseling at Butler, I'm presuming, though, there are lessons not just for school counselors here, but others. If, say, a few years ago I had been in the school where Oliver was feeling isolated, and either he came to me with the problem or I observed it, what should I do in those situations? What's the appropriate response? What can we do to help someone in that situation?
And I think Linda kind of touched on that, is there's got to be a clear communication of what the bullying policy is and what to do and where to respond. And so I believe the communication, it's the kids, it's the parents, it's the community, staff, teachers. I was a middle school counselor before coming to Butler, and when we would ever do school climate surveys, we found out, you know, where the hot spots were. And a lot of times it's your support staff in the schools, the school bus drivers, cafeteria, and empowering those, you know, people in our school systems to observe. And then they need to be educated on how to report that and how to help advocate for those students.
Yeah, and I guess where I want to go with this, though, is at a more human level. You've got a very upset young person in front of you. As an adult, you know, what should I do when someone in that situation comes to me and says, I got a problem?
I think that at the human level, you sit down, you make a space for them, you talk to them, you help build that trust, you provide an empathic support, you listen in tune, really engage, I guess, and listen to them. Give them your full support, your full attention, and affirm their and validate what they're feeling, and make sure then that you support them and guide them to where they can feel like they're getting help.
We are talking about bullying today here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Could you speak up just a little bit? You seem to be a little soft. Your question, please.
Actually, it's more of a comment.
Okay.
It's an observation pretty much from growing up, and I would say being a victim of bullying myself over 20 years ago, and also watching it today in a different state, but also I would say a totally similar set of demographics. I grew up in a very homogeneous, very similar racial makeup in Indiana, also in Massachusetts, very white, mostly Christian, very similar background group of kids. So I felt like there was a lot of sort of people trying to carve out this individuality where there was not a lot of diversity, creating ways of singling. I forget what one of your guests was using, but sort of making the odd man out or creating this dichotomy, this sort of class where there didn't really exist, and sort of because there wasn't a lot of diversity built in to the population, creating sort of reasons to single out or group people and label them and treat them differently. And I wasn't sure if there was anything in the literature to support whether or not, you know, different types of school systems, whether it be, you know, very homogeneous or heterogeneous type type backgrounds, if bullying is more or less of a problem.
Real quickly, before I throw this to the panel, how old were you, Jessica, while this was going on?
I would say in fifth grade was when it started.
Okay. And how long did it go on?
I would say that it changed my personality, and I probably allowed it to go on throughout high school because I became accustomed to it, and I stopped being outgoing. I stopped trying to stand out because I was afraid of being laughed at or picked on. So I think I made myself look more like a victim, and therefore I was easier to pick on.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We're gonna...
And the people that did actually initiate it were members of my peer group, similar background, similar socioeconomic group, girls just the same as me. And it was, you know, looking back in hindsight, you know, were they trying to create some sort of differentiation?
You've given us an awful lot to chew on here, and I want to thank you for sharing your story with us, Jessica. We'll take that up. Oliver, I saw you actually nodding your head. It sounded like an awful lot of what Jessica had been through mirrored your own story.
Yeah.
What would you tell her?
I would tell her that the one thing that as you were talking through this, it sounded very similar to what I had been through. And the one thing that I did is after I switched schools, I was in about fifth grade, and I switched schools going into Wesleyan in sixth grade. And at Wesleyan, I felt pretty much the same you did. I stopped being outgoing. I wasn't trying to find people because I was afraid of what they would think of me and how they would say and what, because there was always something that they could say to me that when I would do something. So I exactly feel you when you're saying that. But when I went to Wesleyan, the one thing that I decided to focus on is trying to be, you know, just figure out, because Wesleyan had a larger population, and I just tried to figure out, just try to be outgoing to anyone just to see, because at that time in fifth grade, I didn't really know what kind of a person I was. I didn't know how I fit in. I didn't know what I should do to try to fit in to be friends. And the one thing that I would recommend is just always be yourself. There will be someone that accepts you for it, because there just always will be. You don't have to necessarily have a peer group like they do. And when they do that little click thing, when I switched to Wesleyan, I refuse to have that kind of relationship with other people to form that click, because I know what it's like to be that one person on the outside of the click, the one man, the odd man out, that always the one who gets left out, because that happens in all groups. And I just never want that to happen again, so, or to anyone else. So that's why I refuse to.
And I want to talk about, because this is a piece of this that we have alluded to, but really I don't think have brought out, is that often this is group activity. You know, the classic image of the bully is that it's a much bigger person confronting a smaller one, and that you're supposed to stand up to the bully. That's more difficult to do when the bully is bullies. It's plural, and there's a huge group of them, and that it's not about physical confrontation or anything like that. Can we talk a little bit, Linda Lawrence, about the group dynamics involved here?
Right, and it does happen that way. And as I heard Jessica speaking, I just wish that she had had someone to talk to, that there was a relationship. And when we look at a larger group bullying someone else, that's when you have to use the climate of your school that Brandy's been talking about, and that what Oliver has really been saying without saying it is a safe haven, that you know there's someone at that school, and no matter if it's one person bullying or eight people that are doing group dynamics. We see that a lot, and not to make it gender specific, but the mean girl syndrome. You know, you really do see that mean girl, and you need to break that up right away in order to stop it and teach how it feels to be that person.
We've gotten, and I think this has touched Oliver, and Oliver, but you and Jessica clearly have touched a nerve here and gotten people thinking and talking about this, so we're grateful to you for that. We've gotten a message from Facebook, a listener named Robert, who says, I went through persistent bullying through my school life. One of the clearest points I saw was that bullies are attention hogs. To that I say, be careful what you wish for. That's what the Columbine incident was about. I'm not sure we want to take it in that direction, obviously, or encourage violence as a response. But is there some level to this? I think Brandy Oliver, I mean, is there bullies want attention? Is that?
Yeah, and I think that's where it gets back to part of it is if your school climate is that you find bullies that say, I like to make Oliver upset, and they do receive attention, and we call them bystanders. So it's the students that are surrounding the bully that reinforce that bullying behavior. They are getting laughter, or they're getting that favorable attention. So that's going to keep that bully, you know, to continue his or her behavior. And so that is where we have to break that. And that's not the norm of the school. And so instead, educate those bystanders, again, that whole school climate piece, that this is unacceptable behavior, and learn how to empower our students to speak up and intervene. And it's interesting. There's been a lot of research, and there's a statistic saying that an average bullying incident lasts 38 seconds. But if somebody intervenes, a bystander says, that's enough, you need to knock it off, it's about 10 seconds. And so that's pretty substantial.
We are talking about bullying here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Paul, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks, folks. I've been listening from the start. In how far in the real world would this type of program get? I understand that there's a lot of societal differences that people work out. They understand when they become adults that they can sit across the table and talk about one's differences without being accused of being a bully. What about the children who are perhaps a little bit different than the school administrators, a little bit different than the teachers union, and they happen to have been brought up in a Christian conservative family, and they have ideas about certain behaviors and lifestyles? Are they to keep their mouths shut and sit there and not express their opinion, especially when they become high school age, and especially when there are courses that are devoted to diversity? Is there any tolerance for Christians?
We will take that up. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for the call. Real quickly, Linda Lawrence, I think probably you would be the best person having to deal with that. Is this a question really of diversity of viewpoint, or...
It can be. I mean, I think that everybody has to be willing to listen and to give their opinions. I think that's part of an educator's job, is to teach children how to actively speak with each other and respect opinions. Our school is so diverse. We have all ethnicities. We have Jewish students, Christians, Muslims. We have everybody in our school. And in the classroom, you will hear conversations that can surround that. It just has to be corralled. And it's all about respect.
Well, and I guess I think to get to Paul's point here, Brandy, he's talking about having a difference of opinion and basically being able to kind of confront each other on beliefs. At what point does it stop being confrontation and starts being bullying?
I think it goes back to that in the imbalance of power and being aggressive, and it's happening over and over. If it's a classroom discussion, which we have in our school counseling program, I teach the diversity class, I welcome the differences of opinions because I'm not out to change somebody's values and beliefs or their identity, but we have to learn about others' values and beliefs. I've given a lot of presentations in the state and nationally about this tolerance idea. I'm not an advocate of tolerance because that's really negative. I'm going to tolerate you for 7 hours while I'm here, but I don't care to learn about who you are and what you stand for. And so I really believe as a school, we need to start looking at how to support one another if we have varying views and eventually hopefully leading to an acceptance of others.
Well, and the show is about you folks, not about me, but I do remember when I was a newspaper reporter years ago, we went through what was a diversity training program at the time, and there was a person there who made an impassioned argument and said, basically, I don't believe in diversity training, that really this should be called decency training here, that it's not about, and it speaks to your point, Brandy, this is not about diversity or tolerating someone, it's about good manners. It's about respecting other people and what they believe. And there may be a bit of a misnomer there. We've gotten a tweet from M saying, hope you'll do a show on workplace bullying. It impacts health, career, and finances. Devastating to watch and go through. We tend to think of this that may not be reassuring. Oliver's looking at me with very wide eyes thinking, oh gosh, I thought I'd get out of this when I was out of school, knowing that it may go on even after I leave school. How widespread is workplace bullying, Brandy?
And I mean, it's definitely apparent and visible, and I'm sure we all have, you know, stories that we could share where some of these behaviors are exhibited in our adult life. And I think that would be an excellent topic to, you know, to continue to explore.
We are talking about bullying here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. We've gotten an email from a listener named Gerald, who asks a question that we've sort of alluded to, but puts it much more cogently. He says, I thought bullying was a physical act. At least it was when I was growing up. Now it seems to be verbal. Is this a result of living in a PC society? Seems like humans, at least in this country, are losing any kind of backbone whatsoever. Brandy Oliver, in terms of dealing, and I'm of a certain vintage, that was sort of the message that one's father gave you. If you're being bullied, you just got to go out and confront the person and not back up. That's not what we're taught these days. So could you talk a little bit about that point?
Right. And I mean, I guess to pick up on what he was, it is physical. There are definitely physical bullies. There's verbal bullies. And I think one thing we haven't touched on is the cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I found being in a school was very difficult because you can't control what happens after 3 p.m. And these kids don't have a safe zone anymore. They're getting bullied through text, through Facebook, through tweets. And so, you know, the old school take care of it. No, that's not what we're trying to teach our students. But it's this communication, knowing how to report. And I don't know that we've talked about a lot of students feel like they're tattling on their peers. Mm-hmm. And there's such a big difference between telling and reporting and tattling. And that was one big thing to communicate is they need to step up and report these incidents.
We are talking about bullying here on No Limits. We are fortunate to have as our guests Linda Lawrence, West Lane Middle School principal, Oliver Hobson, one of her students at West Lane, an eighth grader, Brandy Oliver, who is a Butler University assistant professor of school counseling. We'll be joined in just a moment by Sean Cowherd, who is Indy Park's anti-bullying coordinator. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism and executive editor of thestatehousefile.com. We are talking today on No Limits about bullying. We're fortunate to have as our guests Linda Lawrence, who is West Lane Middle School principal, Oliver Hobson, who's one of her students, a West Lane eighth grader, Brandy Oliver, who's a Butler University assistant professor of school counseling. I'm going to make it through all the way through the show. And Sean Cowherd, who is Indy Park's anti-bullying coordinator. Sean, welcome to the program.
Good to be here. Thank you for having us.
It's good to have you here. We have got a lot of listener interest on this, so I'm probably going to start just trying to get in as many of these listener emails and calls as possible. This is from a listener named Amy who says, here's an odd question. Suppose you were a teacher and a student interrupted a lesson to say, Ms. Doe, were you socially ostracized as a child? This happened to me, and I just didn't know what to say. Of course I was. I've never met an academic who wasn't. How should, Brandy Oliver, how should a teacher, an educator, deal with a question like that?
I guess my first response would be maybe not the time and place, but maybe to invite that student to come back in, have lunch with that student or in a private setting. And if she or he feels comfortable as the teacher to share their personal experience, I think that makes it real. That may provide a person to share the student's concerns with, and it can build a relationship, as Linda has kind of talked about previously.
And Sean Cowherd, and we've talked about this pretty much in a school environment, let it spill out a little bit into the workplace, but we focus pretty much on school. Obviously, the fact that Indy Parks has an anti-bullying coordinator indicates that you guys are aware there's a challenge there that you have to meet. Can you talk a little bit about what you do and why Indy Parks felt the need to make this kind of effort?
Yes, definitely. We want to make the statement that bullying is not only a school issue, but it is a community issue. And that's the reason why Indy Parks decided to get involved with the anti-bullying and making sure that we advocate for not only our youth, but everybody at large, because it is a community issue.
How much of it goes on at the parks, I mean, that you see?
Well, to be honest with you, bullying is just everywhere. Mm-hmm. And Indy Parks, we want to do our efforts and we want to put our best foot forward in making sure that, you know, not only the park systems, but kids feel safe going to the parks. Adults feel safe going to the parks, and nobody should have to come to a park, you know, a city venue and have to be bullied in that area. So.
We've gotten an email question from a listener named Craig who says, just like one of our callers, I was bullied back in the late 70s in middle school in an almost all-white suburb of Atlanta. But in high school, it all stopped, and I had a gay relationship without any retaliation. Middle school seems to be the worst time in a boy's life. Do your guests think the bullying has gotten worse over the past decades? And that's a question we ask about a lot of social problems. Is it that it's gotten worse now, or that we're just more aware of it, that we pay more attention to it? Sean Cowherd.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that we are, with social media and with a lot of things that we have access to, I think it's gotten worse because it's so easy to tap into things. Now, if you look at YouTube, if you look at a lot of the websites and things, there are people on there that are posting videos about fights. They videotape it and post it and laugh at it later.
Yeah, and to some degree, it is the fact that almost everything we do is now for entertainment or
exactly.
Entertainment consumption. We are talking about bullying here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
My question just revolves, I guess, as a parent, helping a child deal with this. Any resources your guests have that they could share with us would certainly be useful. And I guess the second part of my question would also be how to approach school officials. I think there are a couple of different ways as parents that we look at this, and one being that growing up and having the turning of the other cheek issue and things like that, but as dealing directly with it as a parent and not having dealt with it as a kid, it being the subject of bullying anyway, I don't know that that's the right answer, and more searching for friends has kind of been pointed out, but how to make school officials aware that things like, you know, having someone write an apology letter doesn't help the kid. It only probably makes it worse. And how do you point that out in a way that isn't aggressive, maybe, to the school official?
Thank you for the question, Carrie. We will take it up. Well, I'll start first with Linda Lawrence on this one. We'll start with that piece of, if you're a parent, how should a parent approach a school official?
Face forward. Just be honest. Because if you try to couch it, or I'll get phone calls sometime from an anonymous person. I can't work with anonymity when it has to do with bullying. I really need to know who it is and how we work with that.
And Brandy Oliver, I'm going to ask real quickly, the other part of Carrie's question was, if you're a parent, and how do you deal with it with your own child? I mean, how should you? To some degree, I think we talked about it when I asked you the question about how an adult, when someone in Oliver's situation comes to us, should react to it. But if you're a parent, obviously there's a much greater expectation of support and comfort and all of that protection. How should you as a parent respond when your child comes and says, you know, Mom, Dad, I'm being bullied?
Right. And I think have that honest conversation and continuously invite that conversation. When they come home from school, that's, you know, tell me about your school day, and don't let them just say nothing happened. You know, continuously ask those questions, be there, help provide them some skills, assertiveness skills, how to speak up for themselves, how to report, what should they do if they're feeling unsafe at school. So to help kind of build their toolkit to respond to this bullying situation and any future bullying situations.
We are talking about bullying today here on No Limits. And as we talk about the schools today, we want you to know that WFYI is part of American Graduate. Let's make it happen. A public media initiative funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to help communities address the dropout crisis. The initiative builds on public media's commitment to education through conversations and partnerships between public radio and television stations and local schools, businesses, and community organizations to help students stay on the path to a high school diploma. We've gotten a tweet from a listener named Peter who says, as an educator, I'm appalled by the listener suggesting bullying needs an old school solution. We're not in the 50s and 60s anymore. I'm going to start, and I think as a premise here, how much of at least the approach that I think there's agreement here with this panel that old style school approach does not work. How much of the task here of solving this problem comes down to getting people to see that what we were taught long ago just isn't appropriate? Linda Lawrence, you're nodding your head emphatically, so I'm going to go with you.
And this is something I talk to parents about. And again, the caller that asked, how do I approach school officials? Anyone that thinks there's no bullying going on in their school isn't looking very far. So we need to understand it is a community, and our schools are a community. So that's critical to what we're doing. And it has to start with education, has to start in the family. I heard Brandy say, have honest conversations. So be certain that you look at your parks department, you look at your schools, you look at how the family interacts. And if it's a working parent who doesn't get to have that conversation as soon as a child gets home, make sure there's a strong relationship with another adult that the child can trust and that the conversations can happen there.
So how much of this, you know, it sounds like what we need to do is create kind of a safe network and entirely. How good a job have we done as a society, as a culture at doing that? Sean Coward.
Well, I would say I can speak on behalf of Indy Parks and what we've done to eliminate bullying. We've had an anti-bullying week in our after-school programs, which we house anywhere from like 35 to 60 kids per school. And then we've taken different initiatives to empower our youth to make sure that they know what it is. And then we've taken initiatives to also empower our Indy Park staff at large. They've received training as well about what bullying is and how do we as the adults play a role in this effort too.
Well, and Brandy Oliver, I guess I'll ask you to put it in a larger cultural perspective. How effective have we been at putting together that network?
I think we're making strides in the right direction. However, I think we have a lot of work to go ahead of us. And I think that's where we can, things like what we're doing today, we're getting the word out that it takes, you know, the saying, it takes a village. And I truly believe in that. We need to create our schools to be the caring majority and have those caring majority be the loud voices that are being heard and that are truly advocating for all of the students.
Well, and you talked about earlier in the program, the bystanders in this. Are they the key to this, that to some degree you have to empower those people to say, no, I'm not going to stand by and let this happen?
Absolutely. I think that is the key. As soon as that is the message that is being communicated, is that we aren't going to tolerate this kind of behavior, that's when change is going to take place.
And Oliver and I had a conversation on the way down here, and he said, you know, can I talk about how I would go up to a bully and say, you can't do that. That's not right. And the more people that we get of the same age that can say, I'm not going to take this in my school, this is not going to happen, then we're much better.
We are talking about bullying here on No Limits. You can join this conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Marion, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. Your question, please.
I actually have a couple of questions that run together. It seems to me that a lot of the victims, we had a few cases on the north side last year where people actually died. It seems like a lot of the victims wind up being punished after they start lashing out or trying to protect themselves. Also concerned about how it seemed, how is it possible that authority figures or teachers don't see the bullying or choose to tolerate it? And then I was also concerned about school districts like IPS that are seeing less and less funds being provided, with more and more students that are kind of the left behinds that don't get to go to the voucher schools, but don't have the family at home to help support them. And all those things really, really concern me.
Marion, I think we'll do our best, but I think you've given us questions for about three other programs there. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Let's start with that sort of piece of the victims actually being punished often. And in some ways, it's a parallel to, you know, the discussion we have about rape or other incidents where people are victimized, that the victim actually, by reporting the crime, actually comes out being victimized all yet again. Linda Lawrence, you're focusing your eyes and looking thoughtful. So,
well, I think that as long as you create a culture where students can tell and you teach them how to do it appropriately. If someone doesn't tell me or tell another authority figure in school, we can't do anything about it. The question was, how do teachers not see it? When you have 30 children in your class, you do not see everything that happens. You teach our teachers how to do that, but we really need to create a climate that children feel like they can talk about it. And the question about funds, it takes nothing to build a relationship. It doesn't take 1 cent to be there for children, and that needs to be everywhere.
Well, although I guess I would argue that the two points seem to be somewhat related when you're talking. If you've got 30 kids in a class, if it moves up to 40, then that makes the problem even worse, right?
It would.
So to some degree, you know, are there cases, you know, where, Brandy, I'm presuming part of what you're trying to do is prepare people so that they can spot this a little bit better. Are there teachers who are just tone deaf to this?
Well, I'm sure that we do have some teachers. We'd like to think positively. And I think that's what Linda talked about earlier, is taking the initiative to take the time and actually teach our teachers what to look for. And like I said, it's not just the teachers, but it's all the support staff and parents that are in the schools. We have a lot of parent volunteers that come in many times. And so really to train every individual that steps foot, not only in the school building, we kind of forget about after school activities and when our students are off campus. Mm-hmm. And so really that's where we bring the community mm-hmm. piece in. It's really empowering all these individuals to know how to spot bullying and to intervene and not just look the other way.
We're talking about bullying here on No Limits. We've gotten an email from a listener named George who says, I appreciated hearing caller Jessica's insights, which mirrored my own experience from age 11 to 15. I add that I believe that the teachers and principal who tolerated the bullying behavior did so partly because of their lack of appreciation of diversity of class and race. Is Indiana at the state level doing more to raise the accountability bar than 25 years ago? And if so, in what ways? I'll start with Sean Cowherd on this. Do you think we're doing a better job?
I think we are. I think we're becoming more aware, and it is about the education, and it is about empowering everybody with knowledge to know. And I would suggest that if anybody needs any more resources or information, they can contact indy.gov/parks, mm-hmm. and that's our website, or 327 parks.
And I think I'm going to take this one around the horn real quickly. Brandy Oliver, are we doing a better job than we did a generation ago? I'll shorten his time frame a little bit here from 25 years. But
yeah, as far as the state does have a bullying law. There's an Indiana code that addresses bullying, and there's an organization that rates different states. Indiana currently has a B+ when they look at our bullying initiative, and so we definitely could improve. And one of the pieces of improving is providing counseling services to the victims, and that's why my voice. I want to make sure school counselors are an excellent resource in these school buildings when we have these victims that need some place to go. These are trained professionals that can assist these students, as well as helping bullies, training with social skills and empathy building. And so I think that that is a resource. So yes, I think we have done better. That was 2005 was when this new bullying law was put into place. So in the last 10 years, we're improving, but we do have some more improvements to come.
And Linda Lawrence, I'm going to give you very quickly the last word here. Are we doing better, and in what ways?
Yes, and I can speak from 38 years of experience. We are doing better. I don't even remember it being talked about 15 or 20 years ago. Now we're talking about it.
I would like to thank all of you. My guests today have been Linda Lawrence, who is the West Lane Middle School principal, Oliver Hobson, West Lane 8th grader. I think a big shout out to Oliver. It takes a lot of courage to come on the radio and talk about this stuff. Brandy Oliver, who is a Butler University assistant professor of school counseling, and Sean Cowherd, who is the Indy Parks anti-bullying coordinator. I want to apologize to all of the listeners who lined up to try to get onto the show. We just had so many that we couldn't get to you. We're going to talk about this again, and I hope you will call back at that time, because we will work you in. We're going to be back next week when we're going to talk about a somewhat related subject, how you can afford college in these tough economic times. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. We'll talk with you next week.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Public Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at 1 p.m. for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m., and you can listen online at WFYI.org.